speaker this morning. I've known Hannah. Yeah, it's all right, Creswell, yeah, for a long time. And so Sue's been based over in Cambodia, but just being able to come back and preach to us. But I have a really awesome bio here that I'm going to read out about Sue. Sue's passion has always been to come alongside the poor and disadvantaged, the ones who have been written off by their own communities. With over 30 years of leadership and ministry experience with Christians, NGOs, she's committed, and Sue's commitment and ability to bring a message that inspires and calls people to action is formidable. She grew up in a Christian family and has been part of the Temeru Bible Chapel since she was born, and her dad, Clive, is here today. Yay, Clive. Awesome guy. She set up two homes for at-risk women and ran each home for 3 years before handing them over to people committed to the long-term care of the girls. Sue then spent 10 years working with World Vision New Zealand, and it was during this time that she visited Cambodia, where she encountered and had an encounter with a lone young woman dying of AIDS. Heartbreaking, I've heard that story. And this became the catalyst for Sue's determination to return to Cambodia to give what she could to the lives of those who had been ignored and forgotten. For 10 years, Sue worked with Agar International in Cambodia, working in a variety of roles, setting up and overseeing recovery shelters and in community care initiatives, finding and training foster parents and helping place kids into families in rural Cambodia. Currently, Sue is the founder of Flame Cambodia, where she facilitates foundational leadership training and is mentoring a number of local leaders by providing oversight and insight. Sue coaches, inspires, and motivates them to lead their teams well and fulfill what God has called them to do. Sue is an elder of the New Life Fellowship Church in Penyong, and she enjoys preaching and being vulnerable and honest in her faith journey. How's that for a bio? Come on, yeah. Mate, come on, come up. Are you going to speak down there? You want to bring that up here? Yeah?
Okay.
Yep.
If I'm down there, I don't fall off.
Okay.
But anyway.
Well, I'll catch you if you fall off.
Okay, deal.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, when they read stuff like that, you sort of look over your shoulder and you think, who are they talking about? it's so good to be here. I have been asked to share something that's challenging and encouraging and inspiring for you, but also to tell you a little bit about Flame. So I tried to find a way to do those two things together, and it didn't work, so we're going to do them separately. Okay. First up, Flame. Flame comes from a verse in 2 Timothy 1:6, which is, fan into flame the gift of God that's in you. And it was a 5:30 a.m. Moment on my balcony in Phnom Penh. That's how you say it, Phnom Penh.
Thank you. I knew I said it wrong.
Yep, it's all right. Are we... Next one, please. Okay. I think he's doing it.
Okay,
there's the verse. And that's where Flame came from. the vision of Flame as an organisation, we've been running now for 10 years, but the reason why we're there is for children of the urban poor to become leaders. Okay, it's not good enough to go from minus 10 to zero. We go from minus 10 to plus 10. It's about he took me out of the miry clay and he set my feet on a rock. God didn't pull us out, Psalm 40. God didn't pull us out of the miry clay and sit us on the side of the mud hole. No, out of the miry clay onto the rock. Minus 10 to plus 10. Children of the urban poor to leaders. Preach it, sister. Okay, and I am the founder, but it's all run by a Cambodian. There are 43 staff. Please, next one. Please, next one. Right. There are 43 staff. This is our country director. He is a godsend, literal godsend to Flame. He's incredible. So it's all run by Khmer for Khmer. Next one, please. This is what we do. So children of the urban poor, from grades 1 to 6, we run after-school programs because school there is half a day. So they go to school for half a day and come to Flame for half a day. This is where they learn how to read and write and do their maths and times tables. And so grades 1 to 6 is all about that. Grades 7 to 12, it's by now they're teenagers and they want English and computer and sport. So that's what we do with teenagers. Infused into all of this is fanning into flame the gift of God that is in them and raising up children of the urban poor to become leaders. This just is the hook. Okay. So once they pass grade 12, which is a massive celebration and feat in itself, we offer university scholarships. And this program's called LAMP, which is Leadership and Mentoring Program. If you're in the NGO world, everything's got to be an acronym, okay? But that's a pretty cool acronym, because the verse about LAMP is that you don't hide it, right? If you've got a LAMP, you let the city see it. You don't put it under something, and that's the aim for this. And that the our university students, this young man lives in incredible poverty, and that's his mum with him on his graduation day, right? So we have 40 university students. We have 448 teenagers. We have 305 grades 1 to 6. There's a lot of kids in this program, and it's awesome. This year, we're starting some new things. Thank you. And the government school have asked us to work with them. If you are middle class or upper class, your kids go to a private school. That means the government school is full of urban poor, our fish pond, and they give us a classroom and a teacher. We provide one teacher, and we are interacting with 240 grades 10 to 12 students with 15 secondhand laptops from New Zealand. And with that, 15 secondhand laptops and one teacher, we can impact and influence 240 teenagers. When I go back on Tuesday, that school director has asked Flame if we would also teach leadership to those kids. And that's our happy place, because that's where the impact comes from. It's all Bible-based, it's all parables, it's all stories, and it's incredible that the government school wants us that involved with their students. Another thing that we're starting this year is church empowerment, and that is where a lot of churches in the province are not doing anything in their community because they don't know how, they don't know where to start, and they don't have the resources. So we're coming alongside two church pastors and helping them with Flames programs that I've told you about, for the church to use those programs and then have some interaction with their community and get those kids coming to church for after-school programs, for English, for sport, and get them into the church. Okay, that is Flame on Fast Forward.
Right?
It's incredible. This year, we will have deep level impact and influence over 2,605 people in those programs, okay? So this is the farm girl from Otrahonga, and God can do amazing things with ordinary people, okay? Personally, I live with a Cambodian family. Ave has met them. They are incredible. And I am yay. The Cambodian word for grandma is yay. Yay-ay-y. Okay? And I am Sue. That makes me yay Sue, which is the name for Jesus. Okay. A little bit of responsibility there. But yes, so the husband, father, Petra, he with his brother pastors a church, thank you, and that I'm part of this church, New Life Fellowship, and I'm on their leadership team, and Petra and his brother are the pastors there. So there's a lot of mentoring, there's a lot of coffee shops, there's a lot of fun stuff with some incredible Cambodian people who have a deep passion for their country, a desire for their people to know the Jesus that they know, and for me just to be alongside as they do that is an incredible privilege. So, Flame on Fast Forward. There isn't a segue, so we're just going to go straight into the sermon. what I want to talk to you about today is, it's called The Next Yes. Because for all of those things that I have told you, there was a yes involved. I had already been in Cambodia for 10 years, and I thought I was coming back to New Zealand. I thought I had my segue out of that country all sorted. But God put something in front of me, which was another yes, that I had the opportunity to say yes or come home. And that's where Flame came from. It came from another yes. There was an initial yes to go to Cambodia. There was another yes with Flame. And we all have another yes in front of us. You know, many of us here today have said yes to God. And everybody, we get excited about when that happens for the first time. There's a change. You've moved from bondage to freedom. You've moved from darkness to light. when that first yes happens. But as we go along in our Christian faith, there's many more yeses in front of us. When a couple gets engaged, it's exciting. You see it on Facebook. She said yes. But realistically, she has no idea what she said yes to. And neither does he. They stand somewhere before somebody and they say, for richer, for poorer. Well, they all think they're going to be richer. Okay? In sickness and in health, and they all think it's going to be health. For better, for worse, and they all think it's going to be better. Right? And actually, that first yes is exciting, but the second, the third, the fourth yes, that's where growth happens. That's where deep relationships are built and secure and solid, in the second, the third, the fourth, the hundredth yes after the first one. So what I want to do is take us through the Bible, through Jesus' life, through other people in the Bible, and then us. Okay, that's where we're going. Excuse me. For Jesus, before the foundation of the world, it tells us in Revelation 13, before the foundation of the world, it was decided, Jesus said yes to being the lamb that would be slain for the sins of the world. Before the foundation of the world, he said yes. In Gethsemane, there was another yes. It had already been said yes, but there was another time in Jesus' life when he had to say a second, third, fourth, I don't know how many, yes. Abraham. Every time we read about Abraham in Genesis, there's another level that he needs to say yes to. In Genesis chapter 12, Abraham has a message from God: leave your country and your family and your homeland and go to a land I will show you. And Abraham said yes. Genesis 15, Abraham's thinking that Eliezer, his servant, is going to be the inheritor of all of his wealth. And so God meets Abraham again and tells him, no, Abraham, the father, you will be the father of a great nation and your son will come from you. And there was another yes. And then Genesis 18 is the first time that Sarah's in the picture. No, Abraham. It's not going to be you and Hagar. It's you and Sarah. A son will come from you and Sarah. And there was another yes. Okay? And every time it was a deeper level and a bit more information. Joseph. He had a dream when he was a teenager. And it created some angst and some conflict in his family. But he knew it was from God. But he had to say, when he was sold, first trafficking story in the Bible, sold by his family. Okay. There was another yes he needed to say when he was in Potiphar's household. He and Potiphar's wife is coming to him. Joseph had to say another yes to God. I will not sin against God. Okay. And he's in prison. And he had to say another yes. And he's reuniting with his family. And we all think, yeah, Joseph, he forgave his brothers. It wasn't that easy. It took two visits. I don't know what he was thinking on the first one, but he was putting his brothers in prison. So I don't think there was a lot of forgiveness there. But the second visit, and Joseph works it through, and he has to say a lot of yeses to forgiving his family until he finally gets to the point, you meant it for evil, God turned it for good. Yes, I'll forgive you. And the trafficking little boy who was trafficked and sold by his family is reunited with his family. Moses. At the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, there are so many excuses that this man comes up with before he eventually gets to yes. Yes, I will go to Pharaoh. Then he has to say yes again. He had to go to Pharaoh more than once. Then he's at the Red Sea, and he has to say yes again to God, and repeatedly, over 40 years in the wilderness with a million moaning people, Moses had to say multiple yeses because it just kept coming up and up and up. It wasn't a one-time thing at the burning bush. Moses said yes for 40 years. The Israelites. When Moses goes to the Israelite people who are slaves in Egypt and he says to them, will you follow me to freedom? They go, yes, yes, we'll leave slavery and go to freedom. And when they're at the Red Sea and the Egyptian army is kicking up dust behind them and the sea is in front of them and nobody can swim, and Moses said, don't fight. Watch and see what God will do. Trust God. God will save us today. And the people had to say another yes. When they're in the desert and it's hot and it's dry and it's dusty and the food is not like what they're used to and they like, they needed to say another yes. And some people didn't say that other yes. By the way, that's my life. Dry, dusty, and the food's not what you like. Okay? But the people needed to say another yes, and some of them didn't. A lot of them didn't. And they died in the wilderness because they couldn't or wouldn't say the next yes. David, as a shepherd boy, is anointed king, and he doesn't know what is going on. But then he becomes a fugitive. And he had opportunities to kill Saul, but he said yes to God's ways. I will not disrespect the Lord's anointed. And David kept saying yes when externally it didn't look like what he thought it would look like. And then he becomes king of one tribe. For 7.5 years, David said yes to the small job. Even though he knew he'd been anointed to be king of Israel, he said yes for 7.5 years to one tribe. And eventually, he becomes king over the whole country. Peter the disciple, I like him. Do you guys watch The Chosen? Yeah I like Peter. But Peter, he says to Jesus, yes, I will. Let's go to Jerusalem. I will die with you. I will die for you. Yes. And then some lady he doesn't know, some little random girl says, were you with him? No. And then on the shores of Galilee, Jesus has risen from the dead and Peter's fishing and he comes in and Jesus says to him, Peter, do you love me? Yes. Do you love me? Yes. Do you really love me? Yes. And Peter had to keep saying yes. He had to say another yes. Not only him, the other disciples as well. In Matthew chapter 4 or 6, I think it's 4, is when Jesus called Simon and Andrew. If you watch The Chosen, that's a very cool scene in The Chosen. But Jesus called Simon and Andrew and he said to them, follow me. And it cost them their business, but they said yes. And they followed Jesus. And then you get to Matthew chapter 16. They're still following Jesus, but Jesus says to them, take up your cross, deny yourself and follow me. It was another yes. The first one cost them their business. The second one's going to cost them their life. But the disciples said another yes. So you can see all through the Bible. Okay, we're going to stop there. But we could keep going. They're all through the Bible. It's not just a one-time yes. We all need to say another yes. And another yes. And Braden is going to come and read about Paul.
Excuse me. Cool. Acts 16, 6 to 15. Next, Paul and Silas traveled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. Then coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia.
Don't you love it?
Yep. But again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. So instead, they went on through Mysia to the seaport of Troas. That night, Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia in the northern Greece was standing there, pleading with him, come over to Macedonia and help us.
Yes!
So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. We boarded a boat at Troas and sailed straight across the island of Samothrace. And the next day we landed at Neapolis. From there we reached Philippi, a major city of that district of Macedonia, and a Roman colony. And we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went a little way outside the city to a riverbank, where we thought people would be meeting for prayer. And we sat down to speak with some women who had gathered there. One of them was Lydia from Thyatira, a merchant of expensive purple cloth who worshipped God. As she listened to us, the Lord opened her heart, and she accepted what Paul was saying. She and her household were baptized, and she asked us to be her guests. If you agree that I am a true believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my home, and she urged us until we agreed.
Thank you. Okay. Paul was a fireball, right? That guy changed the world. He was motivated. He just said yes. And he had his first yes when he's knocked off his horse and he's blind and all of that, right? But here, he wants to go to Asia Minor and the Spirit of the Lord stopped him. He wanted to go to Bithynia and it's the Spirit of the Lord stopped him. And then he gets the vision. Yes! Macedonia, a man who needs our help. Yes! We're going. And he got his troops and 2 days later they were there. And I can imagine them landing on the shores and him saying to get around missions team, okay, we're on a missions trip here and we're looking for a man who needs our help. So keep your eyes open. God's called us here for a man who needs our help. And it says many days later, they still hadn't found the man, but they go to the river and it wasn't a man, it was a woman. And it wasn't someone who needed his help, it was someone who helped them. And while she wasn't from Macedonia, she was from Thyatira, which incidentally is in one of the places that they were stopped from going to. So what I'm saying is that sometimes we have in our minds what we're saying yes to. God has purposes. We have plans. Are we okay to say yes to the plans when they get changed? My personal story is that God called me to Cambodia and I said yes. 19 years later, he is still calling me to engage and to embrace fully the life that I have there, even when it's hot and I'm tired and the US exchange rate is not being kind, okay, and funds are hard to find and I just want to speak English and I want to find someone who thinks sarcasm is funny. And there's nobody there. They think I'm rude. Probably am. But I still need to say yes. It's not the excitement of when we went with 2 bags saying yes to God's call to Cambodia, but every day there's an opportunity to say another yes. Okay, I need to move. And for us in our daily lives, there's so many opportunities to say yes. We've already talked about the marriage one. Okay? But 10 years after you're married and there's 3 kids running around and there's a mortgage, another yes is needed. Shall we have kids? Yes, you'll make a great father. Oh, we'll have such cute kids. Oh, I hope they have your eyes. Yes, we'll have kids. And then there's potty training. And then there's crying kids and teething. And they're sick. And another yes is needed. And the boss comes to you and he says, I have a promotion for you. It's more responsibility and more salary. Yes, I'll take it. And 3 months later, it's hard. And the boss isn't nice, and there's a report that needs to be done, and it's boring, and you're tired, and another yes is needed. Get healthy. Yes, we'll all get healthy. Get out of bed. Go to the gym. Don't buy the chocolate that's looking at you at the supermarket. Clive. Right? So there's always another yes to say. And in our Christian life, we said yes to Jesus and invited him into our lives, but there are ongoing yeses that we need to say. Yes to be baptized. Yes to give God his tithe. Yes to pray for others when you're tired. Yes to forgiving others when you'd rather blame. There's always another yes that we need to say. Philippians 2 tells us that we say yes to salvation and yes to working out our salvation. Right? So I want to just finish with 3 kinds of yeses. Which yes is it? Because There's a yes, except, right? I'll do anything, God, except. Except a desk job. I'll do anything except a dirty job. I'll do anything except a job that requires me to speak in another language. Right? Where if we say yes, except, it's not yes. And sometimes we say, I'll work with anyone except foreigners. I'll work with anyone except Christians. I'll work with anyone except my family. I'll work with anyone except my husband. Well, is it yes or is it not yes? Because if it's yes, except, it's not yes. I'll go anywhere except Africa. I'll go anywhere except India. Well, if it's that, it's not yes. It's the second kind of yes, and that's yes as long as. And I see this a lot, and I have said it a lot in here. I'll do anything as long as it doesn't affect my family. I'll go anywhere as long as it's not too hot, it's not too cold, it's not too primitive, and the food is not too different. Okay, I'll go anywhere as long as it's not those things. Or I will stay, here's my bit, I will stay as long as I'm being useful, as long as people need me, as long as I can see impact for what I'm doing, as long as I am fulfilled, okay, and working in the gifting you have given me, I will stay as long as that. But that's not yes, that's a yes with some hangers on. So I want to suggest to us that the yes we need to say is yes, nevertheless, yes, which is what Jesus said in Gethsemane. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And this is where I want to ask you some questions. Are you and I, okay, I'm in this too, are we committed to the plan or are we committed to the purpose? Because the first yes of the plan will always be tested by a second, third, fourth yes. And sometimes, like Paul going to Macedonia, like endless people that I have seen come to Cambodia, myself included, we go there with a plan. This is what we're going to do. I am 19 years into my two-year contract. I had a plan. God had a purpose. And part of that purpose involved growing me. A big part of that purpose. So sometimes God will cancel our plans to fulfill his purposes. So I want to ask you, what if our plan B is actually God's plan A? And we miss God's best because we don't say another yes. Like the children of Israel, God's plan for them was the promised land. God's purpose in the wilderness was for them to have that transition time to be able to get Egypt out of their system and become a people who could run their own nation in the promised land. That was God's purpose, but they missed it because they didn't say another yes because their plan A wasn't happening. And plan B was boring and hot and dusty and tired and I don't like the manna. But it was God's plan for them and they missed it because they didn't say another yes. Braden. He's going to read for us Jeremiah 29:11, and you know these so well.
For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster.
Yes!
To give you a hope and a future.
Yes, have that.
In those days, when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. Is that it?
That's it. Okay. So yes to the plans and the, you know, God's plans for a future and a hope. But is it yes to seeking me with all your heart and you will find me? There's yeses all through those verses, but we go with, yes, I'll have the future and the hope. And God's saying, yes, will you seek me with all your heart? Because then you'll find me. Okay. Saying yes takes trust. Will you trust God even when you don't understand the plan? Because God doesn't ask us to say yes to understanding the plan. He asks us to say yes to him and trust him with the plan. Okay. I think I've made the point. Have I made the point?
Yep.
Yes, enough already. Okay. Okay, here we go. You said the first yes today when you came to church. That was well done. You said to yes to getting out of bed and coming to church. That's your first yes. Your second yes is what are you going to, is your response to what you've heard today, to the songs we've sung, to the thoughts you've had. Okay. Your second yes is your response. And I'm asking you, what's your next yes? You know, it's not always an external thing like a move to a country or a location or a change of job, although it might be that. Often, and a lot of times, the next yes is an internal thing. To opening your heart to God, to what you have been denying him access to. Will you say yes? It could be addressing that long-term hurt that has surfaced again and everything in you wants to push it down and bury it again. But God is offering you the chance to say, this will hurt, I know it will hurt, God, and I don't want to do it. But nevertheless, I will say yes to being courageous and brave and going there and opening up my heart to address the issue that's possibly holding me back. You know what you need to say yes to. I don't need to say those physical words that fit your yes. You know it. The next yes is yours to say. The person beside you cannot say it. It's yours. And the next yes has a depth to it that will take you deeper in your relationship with God, deeper in your faith journey, deeper in your connections with people around you, with family and friends and workmates and neighbours. Because sometimes Rosie Boom sings a song, I will cross the world and cross my street. Yeah, and sometimes we say yes to cross the world because it's exciting and everybody knows it and they think we're great. But will you say yes to cross your street to the person who's there? I want to finish with inviting you to pray as a prayer the chorus of an old hymn that I found, and it's got brilliant words and it fits this perfectly. And the chorus is called Yes, Lord, Yes. And for some of you, right, this is a really important moment because you've got what that next yes is in your mind already. And you're facing a Gethsemane type yes. Like you don't want to, this is going to be hard, but nevertheless, I will say yes. Will you trust God's purpose above and instead of your plans? And when the plan doesn't look like you thought it would, like Paul, will you trust God and his purposes and say another yes? So I would like to ask you, please, if you will stand. I don't know how this is going to go, but we'll give it a go. Okay. With everything in me, I want to encourage you to do the work that's necessary to say the next yes. We are going to say this together as a final prayer, not a final prayer. Prayer to finish this. But I want you to have your next yes in mind and to open up your heart and to pray with my whole heart, I'll agree. And my answer, Lord, will be yes, Lord, yes. So we're going to say it together. You've got your yes in mind. This is you and God. We're not going to sing it. We're going to say it. Okay? Let's give it a go. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes. I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart, I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. One more, once more, okay? Because some of us need things twice. Okay. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your ways. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart, I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes.